Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Ken Blackwell, Ohio Secretary of State. And joining us in our conversation is Glenn Graham.
Good morning. Ken, you had the extraordinary opportunity to serve at the federal, state, and level and local level, as well as diplomat. Can you tell for us a little bit, can you explain for us a little bit about the difference you've seen in management styles and culture and personnel in those different areas?
The difference is generally driven by scale. In terms of not only the size of the organization, but the comprehensiveness and depth of the constituency or constituencies that are served. In local politics, a mayor, you can feel him, touch him, get at him. So accessibility is much more a dominant factor in local governance and management and leadership considerations. When you're governor, when you're secretary of state or treasurer, and you're in Columbus and you're, you know, in a huge state, constituents have considerably less access to you. And so you don't have that same relationship feel as a mayor or a county commissioner or a township trustee might have. One of the things that runs through all of those levels of government and affects management and leadership style is the ability to communicate, and the ability not only to communicate a vision, but an ability to communicate the essential results that the organization must achieve. Let me just give you an example. Max Kappelman was one of my mentors at the UN and at the U.S. State Department, and I told Max I was thrown into the United Nations, and he told me, "Don't worry about it." He said, "Let me just explain something to you. The UN is the United Nations is City Hall with interpreters. you have to have the same sort of communication ability. You have to be able to knock on doors. You have to be able to sit down and engage people in conversation. You have to be able to articulate what it is that you want to achieve. And then you have to be able to get people, you have to be able to pull people together with sometimes conflicting interests to get something done. And so he made a connection for me. You know, I could take my skills as a negotiator in labor management issues at the local level and sort of scale up to the international level. But it was those same basic skills. When we were at HUD, it was fascinating to me because we went in and what we had to do was sort of rationalize the system. There were within that organization, there were probably 77 different and often confusing management systems. And so the big challenge within that bureaucracy and given the scale was to get in and try to rationalize a system, that was operated and influenced by two personnel systems. For instance, you had the career civil servants and you had the political appointees. And when I was there, and I'm not sure that it's not unchanged today, the average shelf life of a political appointee was 18 months. And so the career, you know, civil servants used to say, and they shoot and they too shall pass, you know. So it was, and that was complicated when you went over to the State Department and you saw not only career civil servants, political appointees, but career diplomats, folks who were in the Foreign Service professionally. And it just made for interesting interrelations and interaction. And the key management strategy and skill was still communication and being able to pull people together. And so what I've found at all levels of government is that an effective leader, an effective manager has to be able to, inspire through their personal example. People can't see a hypocrite. They can't see duplicity. They have to see you walking the talk, not just talking the talk. The second thing is that you have to have an agenda, an action agenda that creates results and creates opportunity, or that inspiration has a short shelf life. But the big challenge in the workplace today at all levels is to be able, is the ability to pull together a diverse workforce, to pull people of divergent interests and backgrounds into a team. And I think that those things are all related. It's been interesting to see, you know, just how as time and technology has influenced, reduced the time flow on how those things sort of impact you on a day-to-day basis.
It was interesting you mentioned an agenda, because in our last segment you talked about the Center for Civic Character and you described the Guide to Uncommon Sense. Could you tell us more about this guide? And as you were describing it briefly in the last segment, I was wondering, after I read it, what do I do?
Well, after you read it, we have a constant internal discussion and feedback mechanism where we not only work it at our staff meetings across the agency, we evaluate it in our annual performance evaluations. Are people actually living it, or are they just giving lip service to it? On the outside of the organization, we have the Better Business Bureau of Central Ohio that uses uncommon sense as a way of measuring effectiveness and performance, and they actually use it as a criteria upon which they judge the awards that they give, called the Integrity Awards, to businesses. We have about 18 universities that use it in their student development programs. And so for all of those external groups, it's a customized a mechanism. The center is actually a virtual center. You know, there are about four or five employees that are dedicated to it. And these are folks who are expert at training and communicating and facilitating group discussion. And they will go in and they will sit down and they will, whether you're talking about a business leader, a leader of a student group at the university, folks that also use it are Jim Tressel and the Ohio State Buckeyes. They use it in terms of their leadership and team building process. We go in and we customize for them and help them facilitate their own game plan around these principles. There is no cookie cutter approach here. We tell people that they have to get their own buy-in and then work their own strategy, because what's really key is the authenticity, the sense of genuineness that people perceive in the operation. About 18 years ago, I read a book called Habits of the Heart, written by Robert Bella and three or four other people. And in that book, they advance a principle called moral coherence. And moral coherence is when you get your behavior to line up with those things you profess to believe. You have moral incoherence when you talk one way, but you walk another. And so we try to tell people that what's essential to a culture of an effective organization is that sort of moral coherence within the organization, and particularly moral coherence in how the leadership is perceived. You can't, you know, say, do what I say, not as I do in the world today, because people take their key off of the leader's behavior. So we go in and we preach and teach, you know, that sort of principle, because what is at risk today in business organizations, government organizations, higher education, people believe that there's a disconnect, that there's a bankruptcy of ethics. And so we go in and say the key to making this work in any culture is leaders who live it and believe it and pass it on.
Ken, what's the feedback you've received from other public officials?
It's been fascinating. We now use it in our effort to tell people how important it is that their campaigns be guided by these uncommon sense principles. People are looking for character-based leadership. But from my standpoint as the state's chief election officer, I want to give people a renewed sense of faith in the dignity and the integrity of the political process. It's an easier sell for me today because, you know, rank below politicians today are corporate leaders. You know, and so now I have corporate leaders' attention. You have college coaches who are coming in and saying, you know, this is important to the character development of my teams. And so we believe that it is building the moral authority to lead that is so essential in transforming or for leaders or managers to transform their organizations.
It's an interesting point. In Ohio, the Secretary of State is also responsible for running elections. What's the state of election administration in Ohio now? We'll ask Ken Blackwell, the Ohio Secretary of State, to tell us more about this when the Business of Government Hour returns.